Hello, Abraham. I want to go with this little chicken pecking. I want to bring that into a parent-child relationship if I can. And it seems natural that children are weaned to become independent. But the children coming in now are very, very demanding. Or have they always been? They're driving their parents crazy.
Do you think that the children are more demanding or that they are being born into more restrictive circumstances?
I think both. I think it is restrictive. And my reason for asking this is I've just lived the last 10 days with two groups of grandkids. And one's being
raised.
You
have our condolences.
Yes. And I'm seeing that one raises the child one way, another family raises them another way, but what I see that's common is the children are absolutely unhappy, and the parents are going crazy trying to pacify them. And I know my suggestion to them is that you're trying to raise the children to be connected, and the parents also have to stay connected, but I don't see the parents able to stay connected.
Well, it starts there, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's a tricky thing because once it starts to get out of balance,
yes,
like that, it is only likely that it will be the parent that will consciously bring it back into balance. But let's talk about this a little bit, because the children that are coming forth today are coming with a stronger determination to be individual creators,
yes,
than we have ever seen. In,
yes,
other words, that is different in,
yes,
that they are coming with a stronger determination. But it's an interesting thing. They are born into a society that is more restrictive because as your society becomes more fearful of things, a little bit what we were talking about being guarded or guided from fear, then what happens is they make more rules and requirements. Esther, as she watches her daughter Tracy put Kate into the car, mm-hmm, and she sees the production that is involved just in strapping her in. In other words, and Esther remembers what it was like to get in the car. Everybody got themselves in the car. They just bounded into the car. It wasn't a big deal. They didn't get strapped to a very restrictive seat. In other words, it was a whole different experience. And we're not saying that all children are unhappy when they are strapped in. Kate is not unhappy when she's strapped in because it is all that she has ever known. But we are saying that your environment is, in its fear of what might go wrong, is beating the drum so much of what might go wrong that the new children who are coming in, who are coming with a stronger quest for bliss than they've ever come with before, are being born into an environment of greater worry than they've ever been born into before. And so the mix is making a sort of clash. But it's not a bad thing because it is, as we've said about so many things, the crevasse between those who are in alignment and those who are out of alignment is becoming more evident. In other words, it is easier as a teacher today to teach about your guidance system than it has ever been before. And so while there is more drama, there is more sort of chaotic experience, the potential for heightened satisfaction is greater than it's ever been before, too. In other words, someone like these children who is born with great intention to live happily ever after and to have a very grand time doing it, who has at an early age been detracted for whatever reason from their consistent alignment with Source, is going to feel so good when they snap into that alignment with Source. And so if we were standing in your physical shoes, now here is what we would do to sort of remedy it. Can you give us an example with either family of something that you saw that was unpleasant to experience?
Well, it seems like whenever the word no is said, it just sets the kids off. They do not want to hear the word no under any circumstances.
Think about it. If you were trying to explain something to someone, mm-hmm, and that person was saying no, 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 mm-hmm, implying that you were wrong in your desire or in your assumption. Don't you just hate that? Don't you have a sort of natural resistance to being told that your plan, yes, is a wrong one or your plan is an inappropriate one or that your behavior is wrong? In other words, and aren't you glad they know that?
Well, yes.
So what we're really talking about is parents have decided that their role is to inhibit the natural behavior of their child in order to, as comfortably as possible, cause them to conform with society at large. Wouldn't you say that's a pretty good description of parenting?
Very true.
And the inner spirit is saying, I'm coming forth to be different. I'm coming forth to be different. I'm coming forth to be different. In other words, I've been there. I've done all of that. Now I'm trying it another way. I'm coming forth to be different.
How can we help? How can we help them?
They don't need nearly as much help as their parents.
I was referring to the parents.
So how you can help the parents is by saying, yes, you have a magnificent child on your hands, and mm-hmm, this is a freedom-seeking child. Yes. And if I were you, I'd find as many ways to allow this genius freedom as I could, and I wouldn't worry too much about this one. But words don't really teach very much. The child will, in time, help them to come to some sort of an understanding. Okay. You can help a lot. You can, from your distance, anticipate happy unfolding, and don't get too involved in it. In other words, all children and parents are not having this sort of a thing, and it has to do with the alignment of the parent. In other words, it's hard for a parent to accept that their child is more in alignment than they are. It's hard for a parent to accept that in many ways their child knows more than they do, because most parents see themselves as the pre-pavers of the experience of the children, and most parents, frankly, are looking around into the world and worrying about it and then trying to protect their children from all of the things that they worried about and then some. And that vibration of protection has them all upside down and all around. What we would like to say to you is, don't worry about it. It will work out all right. And don't worry so much about the children's relationship with their parents. Instead, focus upon your relationship with any of them when you are interacting with any of them. And you will have a better experience if you will interact with them more one-on-one yourself. Jerry and Esther got on an airplane the other day. They were flying on an airline that does not have assigned seating. And so Esther was feeling a little uncomfortable about it because she did not know what to expect. But they got on easily, and there were plenty of seats in the forward cabin to choose from. And there was a little girl, very timid and very little, sitting and looking frightened. And as Esther glanced over at her, the flight attendant was standing next to her. And Esther said, "Is she flying alone?" And the flight attendant said, "Yes, would you sit here?" And Esther said, "Oh, we would love to." And so Esther sat down with the intention of making this little girl feel better, never understanding that the universe had lined them up to help each other have a joyful experience. In other words, Esther totally miscalculated this little girl. And so as Esther sat down, the little girl is holding a teddy bear. And Esther said, "What's your teddy bear's name?" And Hannah said, "His name is Buddy." Very quiet. Esther could barely hear her. And then the little girl said, "I made this bear." And Esther is thinking, "Of course you did. And I made this airplane." Little children have vivid imaginations. It was a magnificent teddy bear. And then Esther listened a little more. And then Esther saw the box that the bear had come out of, and the box said, "Build a bear." Then Esther realized that she really had built this bear. And then she pulled out a big Harry Potter book. And Esther is thinking, this little girl could not possibly read this book. And Jerry said to her, "Do you know all of the words in that book?" And the little girl turned all of the pages and looked at all of the words and then said, "Yes." And Esther is thinking, of course you know all of the words in this book. And then she pointed at the word Dementor and she said, "I'm not really sure what that word means. I'll have to figure that out later." Well, that got Esther's attention. And then in a minute, she elbowed Esther and said, "Look, they left the T off that word. And the word right was written, but the T was missing from it." As Esther is feeling dizzy as her awareness of who this child is, then Esther noticed in her notebook that she had been playing hangman with someone. And so Esther said, "Would you like to play hangman?" And the little girl said yes and hung Esther 3 times on the word x-ray and the word meteorologist. And Esther is thinking, who is this child? Esther is digging through her purse, wondering if there is something that she can find to entertain her. And Hannah, instead, is giving Esther gum and Jerry gum. In other words, utterly stable, utterly secure, utterly in love with life. And then Jerry said, "What are you going to do this summer?" And she said, "I'm going to gymnastics camp." Well, Jerry is an old circus performer. He thinks now there is something we can talk about. And he said to her, "Can you do a cartwheel?" And she said, "Yes, on a balance beam." Esther loved her experience with little Hannah because Esther realized that Esther had preconceived notions about this 7-year-old child that were wrong almost to the last one. Esther saw her so differently than she was. And in the hour that they sat together, that little girl completely, through her behavior, reworked Esther's perception of her. It was an amazing ride. And these children will do that. They would have a better chance of doing that with strangers. In other words, we suspect that this little Hannah is a handful for anyone that's trying to contain her. And a delight for anyone who isn't.
Oh, good. That's true, because what happens when they react to people other than their parents, the people love them. They don't
and it is because they see their parents as trying to restrain them and keeping them from doing what they know they were born to do. And so the bridge that you're wanting to help the parents make, the generation gap is about vibrational differences. These children are born cable ready. They are born with more energy. They are born knowing the potential. They are born with a higher frequency. And it's not logical that they would relate any more than you could go out to dinner with everyone you know and have a wonderful time. You have a better time with some people than others. And it's the same thing. And no children will have as much fun with their parents as they will with other children. You're different vibrations. You see. And parents don't want it to be that way. Parents want to be the most important thing in their children's lives. And their children want to say to them, "You're not the most important thing in my life." In the example that you have regurgitated here for us after our regurgitating it of Henny Penny is that the children in this case are really wanting their independence even more than their mother is. In other words, the mother hen wanted independence from the chicks, and the chicks understood it and accepted it rather readily. So, and the children that are born to humans want their independence much more quickly than the parents. But it is because the children are coming from a place of invincibility and a place of security. And their parents are often coming from a place of vulnerability and insecurity.
Yes, that's true.
And so these loving parents are wanting to protect their children. And in many regards, they want their children to behave so that they will not be thought poorly of, or they want their children to be appropriate. But the thing that is so tricky about that is every circle that you walk into expects something different from children. In other words, it is an amazing thing, the requirements and restrictions that you put upon each other from village to village, from culture to culture, from age to age. You just make yourself nuts. And the children come forth saying, "All of this is so unnecessary. Just let me be me. I would like to demonstrate for you what a truly natural person would be." And a truly natural person is one who gravitates easily to what feels good and does not take very well to restraint or restriction.
That's me too. That's who I am.
We think that everyone selfishly wants to feel good. And anything that they think anybody's doing that's keeping them from feeling good, they want them to stop doing it. And so a parent who is frustrated because he's not making as much money as he wants, or a parent that is worried about what's happening with world economic events, or a parent that is worried about what's happening with war, or a parent that's worried about what's happening in the instability of his own life or of his own body. In other words, a parent that's worried about these things does not have very good shock absorbers. And so then almost anything is upsetting. Just the child's existence is a little bit upsetting, you see. And so there's no way of getting a child to alter its behavior enough to soothe someone like that. Okay. Because they're just unsoothable. They didn't get to that place of frustration because of the birth or behavior of that child. They've been getting there for a long time. All that child's doing is exacerbating it. Right. Nothing makes you feel tired or in your body than watching a little kid run all over the place with boundless energy. It's irritating.
It's very.
Nothing true. Makes you more irritated about having to get up and go to work when you really don't want to than a child that gets to stay home and play with his toys all day. In other words, there are endless things that sort of activate things within you. From your vantage point and from our vantage point, we just wouldn't spend any time worrying about it. Instead, we would step back and we would say things like, "They're working it out and they're figuring it out and everything. This is a marriage made in heaven, and everybody got together for perfect reasons, and they're all figuring out what to do, and all of us have our childhood issues, and all of us are doing just fine anyway." And And there's not anything that I need to do in here other than love all of them and look for uplifting words for all of them and speak from my perspective the well-being that I am seeing and watch for opportunity to compliment and sort of bite my tongue when I ever feel criticism welling up within me and spend as little time with a lot of them as possible, take them in smaller doses, and really we are encouraging that. If you can spend time with any of them, your children or their children individually, you will have a much stronger point of upliftment than when they are all together, because there are too many dynamics that are happening all at once.
My consolation is that I feel each of us have choice in this, and the children chose the circumstances, the
absolutely,
parents, and parents chose the children to them, so there's nothing wrong.
And how are they going to learn how to interact if they don't have others to interact with? In other words, this is the way they are learning. This is the way they are getting their sea legs, and all of it is just fine. And there is no perfect family, and there is no perfect environment. What happens so often is that you've been watching Leave it to Beaver too long. In other words, you've been watching someone else's idea of what the perfect family is, and you have these images of the way it should be. And then if what you're living doesn't match up to whatever image it is that you have, then your assumption is that somebody's doing something wrong. And we would like all of you to let yourself off the hook by acknowledging that a family isn't a unit. A family is a clump of a bunch of individuals who are all wanting different things and vibrating in different ways. And law of attraction is helping you sort it all out. And these early familiar experiences are all very big parts of the launching of the rockets of desires that are going to serve you later on. And so as these children are feeling some confinement, they're launching their rockets of future empowerment, you see. And the parents are doing some of that too. Every contrasting experience, even though you'd like it to be softer and more soothing in nature, is going to pay off later on. And we think consolation is a pretty good word in light of what we've been talking about here today, of just reaching for the thought that feels the best.
Yes.
Esther sometimes will see children that are so well behaved. And she will wish all children were that well-behaved. And then she'll notice that sometimes they're so well-behaved they're limp. And then she wishes that they had a little more life. It's a fine line between well-behaved and never thinking your own thought.
Right.
In other words, nobody gets to decide but the individual. And whatever they're deciding is their business, not yours.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you much.